for the introduction, Chris. Good morning. Thanks for coming down on the last day of the conference. Number three. In the back? Okay, cool. Yeah, thanks for coming down. Last day of the conference. First session, 8:30. So I know it takes a lot of effort, so thank you very much. Appreciate it. So I've prepared a rather unusual presentation, so please sit back and relax as I read the story of Code Swarm, written by Michael Ogawa and Quanlu Ma. Once upon a time, in a far-off land, there was a hard-working village. This particular village was the home of the codesmiths, who were known for producing the finest software in the land. Day in and day out, they toiled to create the intricate software which was used the world over. Now, there were many groups of codesmiths in this village, and each group worked on a different software project. For example, there was the Python project, the Eclipse project, and the Apache project, to name but a few. Here are their coats of arms. There were large projects and there were small projects. Most of the other villagers used the codesmith's software, but few truly knew how hard the codesmiths worked. While there were thousands of software projects in the village, they were divided into two basic guilds, the closed guild and the open guild. The closed guild worked in the cathedral. They believed that their software recipes should remain secret in order to demand more money for their goods. The open guild worked in the bazaar. They believed in sharing their software recipes with other guild members so that they could learn from each other and improve their techniques. Now, while there is sometimes debate over which guild is better, they coexisted peacefully. Also in this village, there lived a young data painter named Michael. His job, as it happened, was to show people in the village interesting, unseen things about the world they lived in, which was a challenging yet rewarding task, one which is underappreciated at this point in time, but everyone knows it will be very important in the future. But that's another story. The young data painter often used the software made by the codesmiths, and he wanted to show off their efforts to the villagers. The first thing he did was look at the works of the old master painters. There were many paintings depicting software already, including its source code, package dependencies, and process scheduling. However, they were all made to be seen by codesmiths, and not the casual villagers. How utterly boring, thought Michael. No villager cares about if statements and function calls. Why can't there be a painting that appeals to both codesmiths and villagers? He asked. And so he set about designing a painting meant to be seen by both types of audience. One relatively new painter, Master Ben Fry, had developed a painting style called organic information visualization that caught Michael's eye. The style differs from traditional data painting by its use of unstructured visual elements. While techniques like tree maps and parallel coordinates are highly structured, organic InfoViz allows the elements to interact with each other in free-form ways. Young Michael thought this new style would suit a casual audience because of its dynamic behavior. Next, he had to decide on what data was important to paint, as there was much to choose from. He knew that each software project kept a logbook of their changes. Whenever a codesmith modified their software, they would record their name in the book, along with the date and part that was modified. This data was perfect because it showed how often and how much a codesmith worked on the software. The Open Guild allowed anyone to read their logbooks. With a little translation, I could use the data in the open logbooks to create my paintings, thought Michael. And so he locked himself in his studio and began to experiment with his data painting. Following the idea of organic information visualization, he imagined the files to be floating spheres. Each file would be colored to its purpose and its name labeled. File spheres flew into the picture as time went on. The files committed at the same time would be attracted to each other so that clusters of files would emerge. As time elapsed, files would fade if they were not changed. The painting was dynamic, and it showed the history of changes, but something was missing. "There's no humanity," said Michael. "I need to include the codesmiths themselves." So he improved his design. This time, he included two types of node, files and codesmiths. Files would appear as before, but they were connected to the codesmith that changed them. Thus, the names of the codesmiths were now included in the painting, and everyone could see their efforts. "Ah, this is much better than before," Michael thought. After adding some more aesthetic improvements, he named his painting style Codeswarm. To understand how these data paintings work, one must see them in action. The original four paintings include Apache, Eclipse, Postgres, and Python. Of these, the Python Codeswarm is the best with which to begin. It starts in 1990, and in the span of 4 minutes of viewing, reveals 16 years of Python history. Guido is Guido van Rossum, creator of Python and the project's so-called benevolent king for life. In the beginning of the project, he works alone. Files, represented as colored particles, fly towards the codesmith who commits them. The file colors are red for source, blue for documentation, and yellow for modules. Additionally, a histogram at the bottom keeps track of the size and time of commits. When a codesmith makes a commit, their name stands out. The files they commit also stand out. The file particles grow in size every time they are committed, which indicates how often a file is modified. Files and codesmiths gradually fade when there is no activity in them. This fading over time is part of the organic InfoViz paradigm. Other codesmiths have joined the project. One of them, Jack Jansen, is the creator of the MacPort of Python. His activity and sphere of influence are mostly separate from Guido's, but they converge from time to time. In other words, Jack and Guido mostly work on different sets of files, owing to the difference in the platforms they work on. F. Drake is Fred Drake, who will become the lead documenter of Python. Notice how he is surrounded by blue document files. The color of a codesmith's name indicates their most often committed file type. Therefore, F. Drake appears bluer than anyone else. And notice that there is no pattern to Guido's work activity. He is a volunteer, a hobbyist. This is in contrast to other projects Michael observed, such as Eclipse, which has corporate sponsorship from IBM, and whose codesmiths clearly show a 5-day work week and winter holiday. In the year 2000, In the year 2000, all hell breaks loose. In the year 2000, all hell breaks loose as the popularity of Python takes off. Codesmiths from far and wide join in the effort, one which started as a single man's dream of a scripting language. Python's project activity continues at the same frenetic pace through 2006, when the painting ends. Now that he had finished his codeswarms, Michael put his paintings on display in the village square. At first, only a few villagers noticed. But after some weeks, villagers and codesmiths began to not only notice, but write about it on their blogs. They understood what Codeswarm was about. Eventually, Code Swarm reached the front page of the famous village paper called Slashdot. Michael eagerly read the reviews and listened to villagers and Codesmith's feedback. The overall response to Code Swarm was positive. There were many people who expressed inspiration and astonishment at the level of human endeavor and generosity exhibited by the Codesmiths, Guido in particular. In that regard, Michael succeeded in his painting. There was also some criticism of Code Swarm, which is, of course, important to address. But for the sake of time and humor, and since this is a happy story, I will skip over it and you can read about it in the paper. Now, by far, the most popular request from the villagers and Codesmiths was to make Code Swarm an open source project. They wanted to use the technique themselves on their own software history data. Since Michael hadn't expected such a voluminous response from the villagers, he hadn't thought that far ahead. But he was more than willing to accommodate that request. So after spending a week cleaning up and documenting his technique, he joined the Open Guild. Soon after making CodeSwarm available, Codesmiths from around the world were downloading it. Many of them posted their own CodeSwarm paintings in the town square for all to see. Michael also received many code contributions, either directly through the version control system or through patches. By far, the most useful contribution was a translation script which allowed CodeSwarm to read the logbooks of software repository systems besides Subversion and CVS, such as Mercurial, Git, Perforce, and even MediaWiki. There were also variations on the physics model and other improvements. All this was made possible by the generosity of the Open Guild. And now for the moral of the story. Open source is good. And by good, I mean really, really good. Michael the Data Painter learned exactly that when he received an overwhelmingly positive response from the open source community. There is a developer community out there that would love to help us, the visualization practitioners, with our software. And by releasing our source code, we can share our knowledge with them and guide them towards good visualization practice. As I wrote in my paper, it would benefit everyone if more information visualization software was open source. I encourage you to download CodeSwarm and modify it to suit your needs. Already, a handful of excellent spin-offs have appeared, which are either direct extensions of or inspired by CodeSwarm. I would also like to see if organic information visualization can be applied to different domains, so that casual users in those domains can get excited about what we do. I would like to thank Prem Devanbu, Chris Bird, and Alex Gorley for preparing the initial data. The contributors to the open source CodeSwarm project, including Chris Galvin, Desmond, Sebastian, Arjun, and Peter, and the patch submitters, too numerous to mention. Thanks also to the CodeSwarm users who shared their videos with the world. Thanks to the InfoViz reviewers who accepted this risky, non-traditional representation and offered helpful suggestions. Last but not least, I would like to thank my advisor, lab mates, and friends for their moral support. Well, we've reached the end of my talk, but the end of the story has yet to be told. Many things had to be left out or glossed over, so please read my paper for details on our design decisions, user feedback, and hopes for the future. You can view more CodeSwarm videos at this address, which include Python, Eclipse, Apache, and Postgres. And there are hundreds of additional videos submitted by users on YouTube and Vimeo. By the way, I noticed that Kitware created a CodeSwarm video for VTK and posted it on Vimeo yesterday, so that was cool. Thanks for listening to my story, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Please step up to the mic. That was a great animation. There must be some questions. So I'll start with one. Hopefully that'll make people a little bit more brave. I noticed that the code contributions, the points, were flying in from the sides, which was very nice. It gave a star-like effect. But I'm wondering if the initial point of the animation could be reflective of some other piece of information.
Yeah, I thought about that too. We could, since this is a particle system, perhaps we could have particle emitters set up according to some, you know, pattern recognition, right, for each file type or a person who commits them. And then the user might be able to place them in certain areas. And that'll lead to a different feel to the visualization, but it might also contribute to some analytics.
Hi, Waqar Salim from Jena, Germany. I was wondering what the location of the author node signifies, and what the so the nodes have a jitter. What that signifies?
The location of the nodes, what they what the meaning of them is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we use a technique called organic information visualization, and don't think of this as a rigid system where X and Y mean specific things. We don't have an X-axis, we don't have a Y-axis, it's just the proximity of the files to each contributor, each developer.
So the author nodes are placed pretty much randomly?
Sorry?
The author nodes are pretty much randomly placed?
At the beginning, they're randomly placed, but they are attracted to the developers who commit them. The files that are committed by a certain developer are attracted towards them, so you have... let's see. So, like, this person in the middle here, who's committing a lot of files, you can definitely see that they're working very hard.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for our speaker?
Hi, Frank Van Ham, IBM Research. Really nice. I really like this. So I was wondering, actually, what are you trying to code with the label font? And I think that's what the previous question asker also meant to ask. Because the font is actually jittering, which makes it really hard to read sometimes.
Okay, yeah, that's true of the original four videos that we did. And that's a artifact of the physics system that I used. Since I open source CodeSwarm, there have been contributions to the physics model that make it a lot smoother, totally smooth, actually. So it's no longer an issue.
Okay, thanks.
We do have time for another question.
That's why open source is good.
All right, please link our speaker once again.